It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins and Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Very well indeed. Thanks, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well, despite these strange times we're living in. Mm. Over the past 7 days, what's caught your eye?
I think a couple of things. I think that clearly for most people listening to this radio, they'll be aware of the massive increase in new COVID cases and the increasing number of deaths, sadly. That seems to capture the headlines in every single journal or media outlet that you read or listen to. The negotiations going on between the UK and the European Union seem to be sailing fairly smoothly, but seem to have hit a patch of troubled waters over the interruption by François Macron around fishing rights. Clearly, fishing rights is being used as a bargaining tool by the UK to ensure that it gets some concessions on, I think, financial services and other areas. And that's going to go on for some time. There's no question Angela Merkel has said that she wants the EU and the UK to come to an agreement. That's a very passive form of address from the leader of Germany. I think that we are going to move towards a more lengthy negotiation period, and at the same time to some kind of compromise that will come out at the end of the day. I still don't think that we'll have a no deal. It's just my personal opinion. I think all the cards are on the table now, and I think it's just a question of where it ends up on the compromise.
Yeah, we'll see. Although the fishing is not a large part of the British economy, is it?
It's a very small part of the British economy. It stands to be a political issue because when Boris Johnson said he was going to regain the sovereignty over British waters, and there are a number of east coast areas of the UK, in particular Scotland, who do have a large dependency on fishing, although it's a small part of the overall economy, it is a much larger part of France's economy, fishing in what are essentially, or will be essentially, legally British waters. It does seem somehow strange that the EU believe that in the UK leaving the European Union, the same rights should exist for the EU fisheries industry, whereas the British seem to think that they should control their own waters. Seems logical to me, but yeah. We shall see. It'll come out in a compromise.
I wonder if the logic will win in the end. So then, Bill, we're looking...
Logic in the EU. That's called an oxymoron.
Yeah. Looking at what we're talking about today, or chatting about today, future-proofing your finances. So, as I've already mentioned, it's been a strange and unexpected year, Bill. Would you say that today's climate presents many challenges to preserving and growing your wealth?
I think more challenges than perhaps I've ever confronted in my professional life before. We've had some serious challenges in the past, Black Mondays, stock market crashes, stock market rises, global economic meltdown, but not much is certain as we head into the final stretch of a very strange 2020. And still, unfortunately, with no end in sight for the global coronavirus pandemic, and still, as I mentioned a moment ago, no final word on where we are headed with Brexit, I think we can expect things to remain somewhat unsettled and volatile for some time. Markets act excessively on uncertainty, so we can expect the more uncertainty, the more volatile. But in that, of course, there would always be opportunities as prices decline unexpectedly and undeservedly against the value of the stock we're talking about. So whilst no one, you know, can predict exactly what's around the corner, Howard, I think, following your theme, I think there are some sensible steps that you can take to make your financial position as secure as possible despite the circumstances. That's the expertise of wealth management and forward thinking.
Well, let's start with Brexit. Is it necessary to review your financial planning to make sure it's ready for Brexit, which is just on the horizon, of course?
It is, Howard. It's essential. If you're now a foreigner, foreign national living outside of the UK, then you do need to consider what advantages and disadvantages you might be confronted with. If you haven't recently given your finances a serious Brexit health check, dealing with all the what ifs, what if there is a no deal, what if there is a compromise deal, you're almost certainly going to benefit from reviewing your own personal situation now. Whether there's a deal or no deal, 2021 will begin with the UK's full departure from the European Union. And whilst this shouldn't have any immediate impact for any British people who are lawfully settled outside of the UK within the European Union. There may be longer term effects for those who are not properly prepared. And for example, Howard, some of the UK savings and investments are possibly going to attract a higher tax bill from 2021 once they cease to be EU or EEA approved assets. And of course, we've mentioned this many times, UK pension and or tax rules, incidentally, could potentially change for non-residents in the short-term future. There's a huge amount of tax to be collected to refund the Exchequer for all the costs of funding the pandemic, and that means huge tax rises. Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, says that he needs to increase taxes by $40 billion to start to refund the coffers of the Exchequer. And beside that disruption that Brexit is going to bring, the individuals, the listeners' own circumstances and goals tend to evolve over time. And if you don't keep up with those changes, you could easily find, literally by neglect, that you're ending up paying more taxes than you need to, or you're missing out on, perhaps more importantly, opportunities that offer significant advantages. So I think it is important for individuals right now, at this critical moment in time, with both the pandemic and Brexit on the horizon, that they schedule a review of their financial situation and do that at least annually, looking at how your own personal savings, your investments or your other assets, the tax planning you're involved in, your pensions arrangements and indeed your estate planning are structured and how you can make them work better together.
Let's look at savings and investments now. It feels like the interest rates have been low for forever now. Do you expect the pandemic and its effect on the economy to keep rates low for longer?
I think they are likely to remain low for a considerable period of time. The Federal Reserve Bank just a week or 10 days ago made a statement to the effect that they would see interest remaining down near zero until at least 2023. No major government looks likely to increase interest rates. Keeping them low, of course, helps to boost the economy at a time when that boost is essential to keep the economy going, given all the costs and expenses business has had placed upon it by the pandemic. And of course, with Brexit in the offing, the UK government will want to keep interest rates low to kind of as an incentive to invest and as an incentive to borrow and as an incentive to grow as the new dawn of the United Kingdom in charge of its own economic circumstances evolves.
Well, Bill, stock markets have been up and down this year. What steps can people take to invest for growth or income, but without taking on too much investment risk?
Yeah, I think this is a critical time, Howard, and at times like this, it really is careful planning that plays the most important role in securing the financial security of individuals over the longer term. All investments, I include bank accounts, all investments carry a risk. A suitably diversified portfolio and an objective view of your own personal tolerance to risk, which you can rarely assess accurately for yourself. You do often need a specialist, independent, qualified financial advisor who is regulated to sit down with you and analyse exactly where your risk tolerances lie so that you are appropriately invested at a level of investment risk which settles itself in your comfort zone and doesn't keep you awake at night. It's essential, of course, from the outset to think about what your objectives are going to be and what you're prepared to take as risk, and then to assess that with an advisor who can start to place your own personal aspirations and your view of investment risk into a properly constructed, cohesive and well-diversified portfolio. There's no question that you need to have independent assistance in that, because however hard you try to assess your own tolerance to investment risk, it's rather like a rather extreme example, I know, but it's rather like surgeons don't operate on their own children, their own family, because of the emotional attachment. And I think to some extent that applies to determining your own levels of acceptance of risk. It's very difficult to assess what you're prepared to risk unless you've got some professional expertise, balancing all of your assets and pensions and savings together to indicate to you in an objective way the sort of tolerance to risk that you might wish to consider. Of course, the final decision rests with the individual client, but the purpose of businesses, especially at Blevins Franks, is to ensure that our clients are accepting of a degree of risk, but only that which sits, as I say, within their comfort zone.
Well, with so much information available online these days, is it essential to take expert professional advice?
I think I sort of covered that a bit, but it is understandable that with the financial advisor, Mr. Google, at everyone's fingertips, it is tempting to think that you do have the world at your fingertips, and therefore, in terms of wealth management, tax planning, investment selection, that it's a simple job and you can take a DIY approach to your overall financial planning. I think most people who have built up or who have inherited wealth, they often benefit substantially from independent and expert reviews of their finances. And they can always validate and check out those reviews and those recommendations with Mr. Google. But the simple fact of the matter is you need human interface when you're trying to establish an acceptable level of wealth management through your investment portfolio or your tax planning. There is really no substitute, in my opinion, for the one-to-one conversation that takes place between the client and the advisor, because there's intonation in speech, there's ancillary comments and remarks that take place that very rarely get pumped into the keyboard when talking to Mr. Google. I mean, it is extremely difficult to take a step back and look at your own personal broad financial situation from a truly objective point of view, or indeed to fully understand the detailed implications of cross-border tax matters. The goalposts change frequently. It is actually quite easy to get DI tax planning wrong, as we often experience. Very often a number of individuals who come to our office come to us with an issue that they had overlooked or had not understood correctly. And of course, you then have to dig yourself out of that issue. And you can potentially invite unexpected tax bills or even a tax investigation if you do get it wrong. I mean, I've been in this business for more years than I care to remember. But if I tell you that I've been in this business for over 50 years, 50 years, and I still sit down once a year and go through my affairs with an articulate and experienced investment advisor from Blevins Franks, just to bounce my ideas off them in case I've missed something, and they're capable of picking up on current trends and also of understanding what my longer-term aspirations are.
Well, many expatriates here in Spain continue to use UK-based financial services, but it looks like there could be issues now with Brexit. Is that correct?
I'm afraid it is. One of the issues of breaking up your relationship, the UK, with the EU, is that the EU directives and the EU benefits and some of the disadvantages will evaporate come the 1st of January and within the period soon thereafter. If you've got it's understandable for most British people who've built up long-term, successful, beneficial relationships with their UK advisors to want to stick with the tried and tested advisor. And if you've got a relationship with a UK-based financial advisor, or indeed if you hold a British bank account or an investment product, you need to make sure now that you check with them that they can continue to legally provide services to you from the 1st of January. I mean, because as things stand, many of the UK financial businesses are set to lose their licences to operate within the EU or the EEA once that transition period comes to an end. I mean, I've had direct experience over the last few days of at least three major UK banks who have already advised their clients living within the EU that they're going to be withdrawing their services to those clients because of Brexit, and they're left high and dry with the requirement for a UK bank account to meet UK liabilities, to take receipt of their pension. It's a shocking state of affairs. I'm hopeful there'll be a solution to that. You should, as an individual, be able to retain existing UK accounts and make withdrawals as an EU resident, but you may be restricted from adding to or moving funds and applying for new services such as You want to make a long-term deposit, say, or buy bonds, or buy some foreign currency, borrow money, or even a credit card. I mean, I know that Barclays wrote to a number of clients living within the EU telling them to cut their credit card up after the end of November because it was going to be withdrawn. I mean, foreign banks and foreign investment providers, unfortunately, may also have to refuse instructions from non-EU-based advisors, those that aren't regulated and licensed within the EU. So you need to check out what you've got at the moment if you're using a UK advisor to determine what you need to do to get your assets, your tax planning and all the rest of it online, with the fact that you may no longer have the same privileges you had when the UK was a member of the European Union.
What other benefits, Bill, are there for using an advisor who lives and works here in Spain?
I think that's one of the strongest benefits of a company like Blevins Franks. For over 40 years, Howard, Blevins Franks have been located in the same areas as their client base. They provide high quality, somewhat complex range of services to high net worth individuals who seek the best of their wealth in retirement, who want to manage their wealth effectively to protect its value and then to increase it over time to keep pace with inflation. And I think the answer is that using a UK-based advisor, just going back to the last question, how can they keep up to date with all of the opportunities and disadvantages and changes that are taking place within the EU? It's a complex problem. But with Blevins Franks, of course, they are located local to where their clients are living. They have expertise essentially in cross-border tax planning. And always there to ensure that your wealth and your assets are held as tax efficiently as possible for your life in Spain. It's also true that they are keenly aware, much more so than non-Spanish-based advisors, keenly aware of the advantages that can exist in a range of different tax planning and investment products that in all likelihood Spanish-based advisors wouldn't even understand or know existed. So it's quite, and it's important too to have someone who you can contact locally if you feel the need for an early discussion, something you need to discuss right now, changes in your circumstances. The fact that Blevins Franks have got a lot of offices scattered throughout of Spain gives a big advantage to the personal service that we offer to individual clients.
And on your website, there's a list of all the offices, I take it, with the contact details and some of the biographies of the advisors as well.
That is true, Howard. I'm glad you've been looking at the website. The simple fact is that if you don't know enough about Blevins Franks to start making a contact, go to the website in the first place. It's a very easy to manoeuvre website. You can get around it quite easily. You'll find that there will be an office reasonably local to your address, and it will give you a biopic of the individuals there, the partners and the senior partners who offer services with their qualifications and their expertise detailed. Have a look at the items that are on the website, and if you feel that this is a time that you'd like to review your financial affairs, and I suggest that this is an important time coming out of the pandemic with the likelihood of volatility and with the Brexit uncertainty, and please give the local office to you a call, fix up an appointment, have a chat to see whether or not you feel that they have something to offer.
Well, thank you, Bill. We'll be offering another chat at the same time next week. Thank you very much indeed. And, of course, you can find the website at www.blevinsfranks.com.